How many of you realize this? Your relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, the relationships you have in your family, the relationships you have on the job, new people you meet every day. This is the way the gospel gets transferred into other people's lives. It's through relationships. And in those relationships, guess what? God is seen. And one of the things we've tended to do in this era of church is we've tended to downplay relationships and think that fill in the blank workbooks over Bible verses are going to accomplish the mission of God. That is totally opposite of that. The fill in the blanks were Pharisaical type people, and God came to bring in a new relationship. Not only that you would know the scriptures, but now because of grace and mercy, you could actually become them. You know, Hillview, I am more concerned not that you can quote verses, but that you can live them. See the difference? Because some of us think that quoting verses is the same as living verses. And here's the problem with that. The devil can quote every verse you know better than you. If we were to take the devil to a sword drill, any of y'all know, remember those sword drills? I grew up kids with sword drills, and you'd draw your Bible out, the sword, the word of the Lord, and you would look up the verse as fast as you could. And I really learned verses that way because it had something to do with winning. So I don't know if I was learning verses, but I won the sword drill. I can tell you that. But it goes deeper than that. It's not just do I know of the verse, but am I willing to submit and become it? Am I willing to be the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the heart of God, the good news of God? Now, I want us to see this scenario. Remember, once again, let me update you. Paul is writing the letter to the Philippians from his beautiful classroom office in the seminary there at Jerusalem, correct? Really? Paul never had an office. He never went to an exclusive seminary. Now, he did learn under the feet of Gamaliel, so he was involved in the religious education. However, he's writing from the everyday reality of ministry. Here's what I love about Paul. He didn't run and observe God. He stepped in and allowed God to move his feet in the reality of the everyday. Now, no matter where your reality is, it may be on the hill. You may be Western students. You may be a mother. And here you may be a grandmother. And in the 8 o'clock service, we even have the possibility of great-grandparents, don't we? I think that's about as far as we go. We got any great-greats? Got some great-grands, but not some great-great-grands. I mean, if you're pulling that, you've been at this a long time, okay? Now, check this out. Chapter 2, verse 19. I want you to understand relationships, aren't they, Nathan? They're essential. How many of y'all found out that relationships are essential? How many of you all got married? How many of y'all got married? You chose to get married. Okay, you don't have to be married, but you chose to get married. How many of y'all enjoy it? Be careful raising your hands. I don't want to cause any problems with them. Yeah, but hold on. If you're going to be married, one of the things about marriage, you ought to enjoy what? Marriage. How many of y'all had children come from that? Okay, they're not always joyful, but you ought to attempt to what? You ought to enjoy your children. How many of y'all, when your children come home, you go, hey, man, I'm glad they're home. Now, I'm honest with them. I'm glad you're home for a little while. See what I'm saying? You got to. How many of you all decided to take on a house? You said, well, I'm going to own a home. I'm going to take on a house. How many of y'all took on a house? Well, you ought to what? You ought to enjoy it. What you engage in ought to illustrate where you are with Jesus. Let me run that by you one more time. What you engage in is an opportunity for you to express Jesus. Now, here's the thing. You get to choose some of the things you engage in. Would you agree with me? But you don't get to choose all the things you engage in. Sometimes life brings things that you thought you'd never be involved with, and there you are in the midst of those. Sometimes they're difficulties. Sometimes they're hardships. Sometimes they're a wayward child. Sometimes they're a cooperative child. Sometimes it's a beautiful marriage. And sometimes it's a cantankerous and disordered relationship. And sometimes you want it to go well, and the person with you doesn't want it to go well. That makes it bad on who? Both parties. Y'all notice that? People come in and say, well, Pastor, I tried to stay married. I understand that. Sometimes you try to stay married, but it takes two people to have a relationship. Amen. It takes two people to have a relationship. I hear this one all the time. We got a communication problem. Well, since I'm a student of communication, I try to analyze and find where the problem is. How many of y'all remember this ancient day when we used to have landline telephones? Anybody remember those? See, I'm not even going to bring it up at 11 o'clock service. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Just since we're on this, is anybody here old enough to remember a party line? Wow, y'all are old. How many of y'all remember? Hold on, let's go a little bit further back. Do we still have anybody that cranked the handle? Wow, we got some handle crankers. And y'all help me, you crank them. Hey, I saw it on the Waltons, okay? You crank it. Sarah, you know, in our day, it'd be like this. You know, we'd crank it. Get me Mark Hale on the road, down the road there. Mark, just think. You couldn't go picking because if you lived back then, everything you pick would be reality of the day. You can't sell an old phone when it's a current phone or a new phone. See what I'm saying? Have things changed in relationships? But it takes two to work it. Takes two to work it. Now I want to talk about the ultimate relationship. Jesus Christ is willing, has made a way, and has offered an eternal relationship in grace and mercy. How many of y'all understand that? I personally believe it's for every human being because that's what the Bible says. So my God's desire is what? That all would be saved. That's God's desire. Now, are all going to be saved? No, because some people are going to refuse that relationship. They're just absolutely going to refuse that relationship. They're going to say, I'm not going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to do it my way. I know better than God. God's a myth. This is, you know, how many of y'all have heard this one? Religion is for weak people. Every time I hear that, I want to hit somebody. But then I wouldn't be illustrating my relationship with what? Jesus Christ. My relationship in Jesus Christ is the ultimate relationship, and it should affect all other relationships. Now, I want us to really look, as we're in this season of Lent, pick it up on relationships, and we'll change the world. Really, the world does not need to see another one of our events. We have evented them to death. We have Bible studied them to death. We have sung them to death. We have quoted verses and had bumper stickers. We have acres of cotton. We've put Jesus messages on T-shirts for people. We even have plastic bands asking, what would Jesus do? How many of y'all notice it's not working? Here's why. We want to witness through a phase, through a phrase, through a moment. And God says, you know what? They will see me in the way you relate. You know why, Andy? It takes an authentic relationship with Jesus to relate Jesus to the world. You can't fake authenticity. Think about that for a moment logically. You can't fake what? Authenticity. You can't go to a program, how to be genuine, how to be authentic, how to be who you are. But really, deep, matured Christians realize this. I am who I am in Christ. I am who I am in Christ. That's where they get to. I am who I am in Christ. Paul was there. Let me remind you, he is writing from a prison. Now, some of you who are highly religious would have spent more time online talking about why Paul got arrested. You'd have probably said, well, if he hadn't said this, he wouldn't be in jail. How many of you all would have said this? Paul being in jail is a poor witness.
Come on. I could point you out who you would be, but I'm not going to do that because I've heard you point others out. Well, that's a bad witness. I've never understood this illogical thing from church people. Well, don't be around sinners because it'll hurt your witness. Now, think of how, let me get a better word there. Think about how illogical that is. Illogical is a nice way of saying stupid. If you're supposed to communicate the gospel to sinners, who do you got to be around? Sinners. So if you got church people saying you're ruining in Kentucky, you ruin it. You're ruining your witness being around those sinners. Well, wait a minute. If Jesus had acted like them, he'd have never spoken to me. By the way, for those of y'all that are real proud, he wouldn't have spoken to you either. Because bigotry and arrogance and exclusion and exclusivity, where you think you're just the elite and nobody can live up to your standard, those irritate Jesus more than just flat out sinners. Because they're trying to work a holiness that's what? Not from God. Well, let's see what happens when you get with God. What happens? I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Hear that in that letter? I hope to send Timothy to you soon. Because relationships matter. I hope to send to you Timothy soon. Timothy is with me so that I too may be cheered by the good news of you. How many of you, when you show up, good news comes with you? How many of you, when you show up, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, you realize shows up with you? How many of you, they spin a letter. Oh, I can't wait to see Bob. I can't wait to send Bob to you, because when I send Bob to you, or Bill to you, or Barbie to you, when I send them to you, you're going to get a glimpse of the good news of who? What if we who follow Jesus Christ, that was our reputation in the world? No, come on with me for a minute. What if that was our reputation in the world? Today, I want to challenge you to not only tell the good news, but show the good news. Be showers of the good news. How many of y'all got good news in you? I'm going to preach for just a minute. How many of y'all got good news in you? Paul can write and say, hey, I can't wait to send him. He's going to have good news. I don't know about y'all, but when I come to Hillview, I hear some good news. I do. I hear good news. I hear good news in the atrium. I hear good news in the classrooms. I hear good. Now, do I hear 100% good news? No. But you're not going to hear 100% good news anywhere. But here's the best news I know. People are having the opportunity to confess and repent of their sins and join an eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that matters. And I'm going to thank you all, because I love you all a bunch. You all are committed to that. And I wish I could tell you, well, you know, some of you all are sitting there going, duh. Pastor, I've read the last part of the Gospel of Matthew. It said, go ye therefore and tell the world about Jesus. Duh, that's what we're supposed to do. But hold on, most are not doing that. The average church, Southern Baptist church in the United States of America, 6 baptisms a year. Cut in half from 1972. 6. Why? Why do you think that's happening? Because we care more about our stuff than we do anybody else. You want to live? Some of y'all play on teams. If you're going to play on a team, and a team is going to be successful, anybody know what you cannot be to play on a team? You cannot have this if you're going to be a great team player. Anybody know what it is? Come on, y'all are mumbling. Kind of silent Pentecostals there. Do what, Kim? Okay, you can't have the eye syndrome. There's a sin connected with the eye syndrome. Anybody know which sin it is? Pride could be a part of it. But I've even seen people with the eye syndrome that don't have anything to be prideful about. I've even seen people that don't play well have this syndrome. I've seen every mother have this syndrome if their child does not get to play on the team. Selfishness. You want to see relationships destroyed? Just fill your life with selfishness. And guess what? Every one of us in this room is more selfish than we think we are. True? I saw some of you going right now. Go get them, Steve. You tell those selfish people. If you just have that thought, listen to me real carefully today. You say, okay, well, look, is Paul selfish? He says, no. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Hear that vibration? Man, I want to send Timothy so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. How many of you realize your news can cheer somebody else? Man, I already got blessed by Ethan this morning. I went up there to the baptistry and here's this good-looking boy. He's up there, you know, and he's grinning ear to ear. How powerful is that? No, how powerful is that? Ethan, my colleagues are trying to tell me that every young person in America is going to hell. That's not true. You're young, aren't you? Looking in your surroundings, you're a lot younger than your surroundings there. And you're a young man saying what? I want to follow Jesus. Pastor Derek, are you not seeing? Don't you minister to young people? Aren't some of them receiving the Lord Jesus Christ? Jeremy, you're ministering to 7th and 8th graders. Now, I don't, you know, 7th and 8th grade, I think every one of us lose our minds for 24 months. But even in that period, aren't you seeing young people come to Christ? How many of y'all glad to know that what the world says is not the total news? We may not be as smart as we think we are. How many of y'all have discovered that? We lost a jet this week. A whole stinking big jet. A 777. Now, I could understand losing a Cessna two-seater because that's kind of like a go-kart with wings. I've been on a 777. How do you lose it? But isn't it amazing? Every once in a while, in the midst of all of our technological sophistication, with all of our prowess, with all of our mentality, with all of our security, a jet takes off from Malaysia and we can't find it. Now, I hope this doesn't comfort any of you all. Here's where I was comforted. It was not a Southwest jet. And I have found if you fly Southwest, you're in pretty good hands. I'm not saying you're going to be real comfortable. I like a plane that doesn't have first class. I've always wondered about first class seating. What? Do you get to die 2 minutes later if you have a crash than everybody else? In fact, if you think about first class on a nosedive, you're the first to go. And you paid $4,000 more to die first. They do have better food up there, they tell me, though. At least I've smelt it behind that curtain. And you know they like to pull that curtain. Like, y'all ain't going to see what we're going to eat. We're having imitation chicken or imitation turkey. And they're having steak. But you know, when the plane gets lost, everybody's lost together. Whether you're in first class, second class, third class, or you stowed yourself away with the luggage. You end up in the same location. And we got to look at reality. It's about relationships. I want to hear good news out of you. And I do hear good news out of you, Hillview. But guess what? I want us to focus. In Easter, that's a good news moment. We ought to be good news people. We ought to be worthy of sharing the good news that is at work in us. Did you get that? We ought to be worthy of sharing the good news that is at work in us. How many of you all have noticed that people like it when you show up? So watch this. Complain less, proclaim more, and be concerned about somebody else. Did you get those three? Complain less, proclaim more, and be concerned about somebody else. Let's try that this week, all right? Now, check what Paul is. He's talking about what it means to be in relationship as we work out the gospel. For I have no one like him. Who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare? Y'all want to hear the gospel go out over the world? And guess what? Be concerned about somebody beside yourself.
Oh, man. Soon to be Reverend Doctor. I just took a baseball bat upside our culture with that statement. Because you know what our statement, our nature in this culture, guess what everybody's told you? What? It's all about who? Come on, work with me. It's all about who? It's all about you, isn't it? How many of y'all think it's all about you? How many of y'all got married thinking it was all about you? Yep, that's over quick, wasn't it? Well, come on, I'll be honest. How many of y'all even did something like this? You just got a dog and thought the dog was going to think it is all about you. If you got a dog, what does the dog think? Yeah, we got a dog that thinks we're his pets. Listen, I live in a culture where even my dog is self-absorbed. You see, he said, watch this. He said, be genuinely concerned for the welfare of others. I want to tell you that verse, that part of that verse is a radical reformation to this culture. You know what breaks my heart? Is we don't care about anybody else. You know what is crushing my heart in leadership? We would rather place people in economic slavery than show them how to be successful. I live in a nation that'll buy your vote and keep you in poverty and call that a good thing. It's where I live. But guess what? I need to be good news. Paul lived in the same environment. That's the same plan the Romans had. They'd give you a loaf of bread if you just shut up. I'm not going to shut up for a loaf of bread. I want to keep preaching Jesus. I'm not for sale because I'm more concerned that somebody else would get better than I am about my own journey. Now listen, if we got a whole church doing that, guess what we'd have? Church. He said, Timothy lived this way. He wanted everybody else to get better. How many of y'all want everybody else to get better? You start living that way, you'll start living. I want to tell you, you want one of the keys that releases a life, start caring about other people's welfare. And that takes a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, you and I are not naturally concerned about anybody else. It takes a supernatural, God-sized experience. Now, let's look what happens in those kind of relationships. For they all, what do? For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. You got to watch your interest. It's amazing. I got some friends. Everything Jesus tells them is what they want to do. I love it. When I first started in ministry, everybody, I said, man, can you help in the nursery? Well, I got to seek Jesus to see if he's leading me to do that. I want to know if I, this is the one I hate, just makes me just sick at my stomach. Well, I have to see if the Lord and I are at peace with it. Who appointed you executive of the kingdom? I've never been at peace at what God called me to do. When God said, go to Hillview, I said, nah. When God said, Ayers, why don't you go to Hillview? I said, Lord, why don't you and I go to Florida? Elizabeth probably said this when the Lord said, you marry him. She was probably inside going, nah. And that's become the most wonderful experience of her life other than Jesus Christ. How many of y'all have ever started out nah and it ended up being your blessing? It ended up being God himself. Watch this. We better be concerned about somebody else, lifting somebody else up, moving somebody else forward. I am delighted today that we are beginning to understand it's not about our own interest. I am going to preach. This is killing the church. Our interest over God's command. I don't seek to be relevant. I'm so tired of reading these magazines. Well, the church needs to be relevant to the culture. Baloney. The church needs to be the church.
Amen.
Because the culture's going to hell. All of them. They're not permanent. They're not forever. I mean, look at our clothes. In my lifetime, we've wore everything from leisure suits to a little of nothing. I grew up in an era where we wore polyester plastic Coke bottles and called them clothes. I had to be careful at First Baptist Church. We had those old boiler heaters. Y'all remember those? Y'all ever been in a building with those? I melted my britches in a Sunday school class one day.
I knew I was sinful, but I'd kind of lean back on that heater, and the next thing that Sunday school teacher was talking about hell, and I'm going right now. I felt a warm sensation and a burning of plastic. It was my pants. You ladies know it's true. You all have looked back at old pictures, and you paid high money for some hair fashions that they said looked good. You gave it a few years, and you looked back and said, my beauty person was a liar. See what I'm saying? Culture is temporary. Relationships are permanent with Christ, and he says, watch out. A lot of people look out for their own interest. Hillview, I want to make you this promise. One of the things we work hard as a staff is to knock our own interest out of the... Hey, we'll be praying at elders' meeting today. Jerry, you know this. We want our interest, what? Out of the way. And guess what that means? That means you don't get what you want all the time.
Well, we don't like that, do we?
I've got adolescent young ladies looking at me right now going, what's wrong with that? No, I don't get what I want all the time. You want to live? Lay down what you want and pick up what God wants for you.
Amen.
This is a scary time. You can ask Elizabeth, this is true, not preacher talk. I wrestle many nights because I lay down knowing that some people are just going to continue to buy into what they want and forsake the salvation that Jesus has to offer.
Here's what's even scarier. They attend church. They hear it, but they won't receive it because their own interests are still stronger than what God has to say. Takes a while to get there, amen? Stay with it because God loves relationships.
But you know Timothy. Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, Paul says. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Isn't it interesting? Paul's looking and said, man, I can't wait to send Timothy, and I can't wait to see you. How many of you all have, I don't know, let's be really honest. I don't know about you. I hope this is your lot. I look forward to Sunday. How many of y'all look forward to Sunday? Yeah. Awesome, Marv. I look forward to Sunday. Now, y'all may look at me and go, well, you're supposed to be here.
Well, I wish I could tell you that I look forward to Sunday always. I've not always looked forward to Sunday.
I knew this church was in trouble. Elizabeth had to get me up to be there, and I was one of its pastors. And let me tell you what that place lacked. They knew the Bible. They read the Bible. I mean, they had people that had taught the Bible. They did sword drills. They had Bible quiz. They had the full children's program, preschool program. They knew the Bible verbally, but they did not know the Bible relationally. That's a big difference. One can be done with the mind. The other one takes the converted power of the Holy Spirit. One takes surrender. The other just takes mental aptitude. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I've been taught by professors that don't profess Jesus Christ, but they can teach me the history of the text. One's just a verbal confession. The other one's a way of life. Paul's writing out of a way of life. He says, Timothy's been proven faithful. When you see him, you'll get better. And I want to leave you with that today. Our lives ought to be like that. Amen. Man, I saw so-and-so today. My life got better because I saw them. Amen. I heard something about, how many of y'all, Granny, you like that? Yes, you are. Everywhere I see you, you're like, hey, how you doing? Ta-da! And I'm like to myself, well, not everybody's going to hell. Granny's not. How many of y'all have ever had one of those mornings you just knew it was over by noon? Y'all ever had one of those days? It's just one bad news after one bad news after one bad news, and you think to yourself, how can it get much worse? And then 1 o'clock shows up, and it does. Then God says somebody a Timothy. And say, listen, I still got good news. And God's still got good news. Somebody needs to hear that today. No matter what you've heard last week, there's still good news. Jesus is still working. Look at here. He goes on and he tells him, but Timothy's been proven. I have thought it necessary to send to you, Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because of you, because you heard that he was ill. Aphrodite's working there with Paul. Guess what? He almost dies for the gospel. But he's longing to see the people he loves. Now I want you to wake up. Every relationship is important. Don't put relationships off. Because I want everybody here to live with no regret. You should. You've been saved. So, Pastor Steve, I got people that don't like me. Oh, Lord have mercy. I got a long list. I'm talking about being in love with the Lord, and I'm talking about being the bearer of good news. And church, I want to tell you, we got to wake up and be better news people. Amen? We haven't been real good news people. Listen, everybody knows we don't like gambling, drinking, and smoking. They got that down. What they don't know is we're in love with the Son of God, who has forgiven us of our sins and brought us to a new life. And the reason we don't like those things is because they hurt people. See, I wish we'd tell them that. The reason we don't like those things is because they destroy lives, and we don't want lives destroyed. We want lives what? Live to the fullest. Aphrodite says, I'll do all I can for Jesus. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me. Least I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You hear they said, man, if I lose Aphrodite and I'm in prison, to lose him hurts. How many of y'all got people in your life like that? You're going to miss them. Well, live with them well. Amen. I'll tell you what, I would rather live deeply with people in relationship and miss them than I would to live shallow and have no miss. That's right. You see, be concerned about somebody else's welfare. And then Paul, hear this. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again. Listen to this, Pastor Mark. Rejoice when they see people. Rejoice when they see people. How many of y'all rejoice when you see people? I wish every one of us could live like my dog, Max. Max has this scripture down. He's a dog. Is he a bright dog? No. Is he a useful dog? No. He can't find a bird. He can't hunt anything. He won't bring anything back. He won't even listen when you ask him personally just to come back to the house. He's a pastor's kind of dog. Reminds me a lot of a congregation. He turns his head and goes like, I hear you. Max kind of looks like a lot of us at altar call. I hear you, God, but I'm not coming today. But Max, every time you open the door, no matter where you've been, whether we got a plane missing, whether we don't have a plane missing, whether it's been a good day, whether Elizabeth's been really nice to me or you know, things hadn't gone well, no matter what's going on, Max meets you at the door, jumps up on you, waggles his tail. Elizabeth even said this one time. She said, I'm going to tell you what, if you'd waggle your tail when you saw me like Max does, our marriage would do better. And Max just shakes. He just sees her just all delighted in her presence. So now when Elizabeth walks in, I kind of go like this and see if it helps. It hadn't helped. You know what I'm talking about? They get so excited. Every fabric in their created being saying what? I'm glad to see you. Man, I wish our reputation was that in the world. And it's not right now, but you know what? That reputation comes to be one person at a time. When I see them, I realize the world's got hope. So guess what? Paul said, I'm going to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for they nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. He said, Aphrodite and Timothy, they came risking their lives so that somebody else might be better. May we do the same. May we risk our lives. Now that's going to be tough, isn't it? Marcia, this isn't easy stuff. So the altar's twofold today. First of all, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, man, it's just hard to be filled with great joy. Because honestly, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell, so I'd be depressed too. I mean, I understand why people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ are depressed. I would be. I mean, how would you like to make a lot of money, get you one of those RVs, drive around, get you some good Sam Club stickers, cash it in, and you end up in hell for all eternity? If that's the end result of your journey, that's a very depressing end of the movie, isn't it? But what if this is your life? I lived every moment of my life. I breathed in what Jesus Christ told me. And when I took my last breath, I took my first breath in heaven, and I'm going to live with God forever and ever. Amen. That's a different story, isn't it? Jesus Christ changes our story. How many of y'all glad to know that God was glad to see us? In a weird way, it was for the joy of the Lord that Jesus went to the cross. He went with the strength of God's glory. I hate to tell you all this. Those gospel songs, they sound cute, but they're a little thin. Jesus didn't go, he didn't have you on his mind when he died. I know that you wish he did, but he didn't. If he'd had Steve Ayers on his mind on the cross, he'd have come off the cross. I'm not the center of the universe. By the way, just to help some of you all, you're not either. So it goes back to last week's sermon. What you feel and what you think and what you will doesn't mean what is. I'd say, Lord Jesus, you want to find life to the fullest? Lord Jesus, forgive me of my what? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, change me. I promise you, he answers the prayer. Some of you say, well, I can't hear from God. Well, you tell him you're a sinner and you want to be changed, I bet you'll hear from him. Probably the reason you can't hear from God, you're approaching God like this. Well, God, I think you need to do this, and you need to explain to me why, and you need to tell me why this goes on here and that goes up. Well, you got to listen to folk like that. God, I want you to be on my terms. Everybody hear me? You cannot have a relationship with God on your terms. You have a relationship on God on his terms. And here's his terms. You realize you're a sinner. How many of y'all have sinned? You're pretty well aware of that. You've sinned. You look at the Ten Commandments and you go, oh, man, that's crazy. Watch this. I guarantee you right now, there are more people worshiping the University of Kentucky at the SEC tournament than there are more fervent about that than they are about Jesus Christ changing the world. I'm serious. I mean, people have driven miles in the rain to see, and I'm all for that. That's great. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Great. Guess what? It'll be over. And 5 years from now, if I ask you who won, you'll be going, well, it was. I promise you there'll be more money taken up at the SEC tournament this week than there will be at the church today. Well, that was quick, wasn't it? Because you see, people believe that's important. Those relationships are essential. They're worth millions. What's Jesus Christ worth to us? Is he worth you coming today and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins? If you've been saved, is Jesus Christ worth being obedient to, where you step up here and say, I'm going to be baptized because he asked me to? That alone's enough. That alone's enough. I'm so amazed with Jesus that I'll do what he asked me to. Now, how many of y'all need to come today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know the Lord saved you. You've confessed your faith in baptism, but you got some selfish spots. Anybody here got some selfish spots? You got some things where you want them your way, and you've gotten the kingdom of God confused with Burger King. Hey, it's easy to do. Burger King, its verse is what? Come on. Nathan, it's what? Have it your way. And Jesus Christ says this, by my mercy, you can have it my way. By my what? But what does it take before we can have it God's way? Mercy. So let's come and pray, amen. Then I got a third thing. I want you all to come. It's kind of a weird prayer, but we've had weird prayers before. I want to ask God to gather in a service as brothers and sisters in relationship. I don't care if you attend church here regularly or not. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask God to turn our good news volume up a little bit. Amen. How many of y'all tend to keep your good news volume down and your bad news volume at full? I know some of you do. I could tell you who you are. Because rarely do I hear anything good out of your mouths. You all always got a complaint. You got this problem, that problem. Why do people complain all the time? Y'all don't want to take that on real quick at all the time? Because they think the world's about them. You know what I've learned? I don't know if y'all have learned this. Not too many people care what I think. How many of y'all found that out? Now, I know there's a lot of people who think people care what they think. You know, you get on the internet out there and everybody's a self-publishing editor now, telling the world what they think. I saw on one of them Facebook things, I mean, it said status, going to the restroom. You know what I wanted to answer back? Who cares? But you. Why would you print that? Because you really believe that you got people that want to follow your life that close. Let me help you. Really? Nobody cares about you like you think they do. But you'll have a few people that care about you. And most of them have a cross in them. And they'll be there when everybody else is gone. Good news. Let's turn the good news volume up. So there's the third part of the altar. Turn the good news volume up today. So if I send Dave, I could write a letter down to Frank. I'm sending Dave with you. Welcome him. He'll be full of great joy and great passion. He's straight up. He's authentic. Listen to what God says in him. We got to have those kind of relationships. Amen? Some of you all have learned me when I tell you, I'd watch that a little bit. Well, what do you think that means? That's Kentucky for they're not authentic. If I send them, I send them with a recommendation. This brother or sister, they're sincere, they are true, they'll get it done, they'll be there. You know what I found? Telling the truth will allow you to live in freedom. Now, you don't have as many friends, but the ones that you have are real. I found that lying, you'll have a lot of people around you that don't care about you when things come down. So let's tell the good news. That is the truth. Amen. All right. If you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, come. If you need to be baptized, come. If you need to come and just pray, come. If you just want to hang out with God for a moment and just say, Lord, I need to live this out better, then an altar would be a good place to do that, okay? Whatever you got going on, let's get it going on, all right? Let's stand together. Ask the Lord to bless us. Y'all been more than wonderful. Thanks for being here today. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You're going to save some people. Lord, save who needs to be saved today. Convict people who need to be baptized that they need to do it. Lord, I ask you to help us from just being so stinking selfish to being concerned about other people's welfare. And Lord, just bless this time at the altar in the name of Jesus. Amen. This altar's open. You all come and pray. Let God have his way in your life, all right? Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Thank you, Lord.